right, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're in session number 19, going through this letter of 2 Corinthians, our study of 2 Corinthians. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 16 through 32, as we'll be looking at tonight. The title message tonight is The Resume of the Apostle Paul. The Resume of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16 through 32. If you remember, this letter is broken down into three sections, and this last section that we're in is Paul addressing the issue of false teachers and false apostles who have come into the church there at Corinth. And these false teachers, these false apostles, and we saw, you know, the extreme last week where Paul actually says they're not apostles of Christ. They claim to be apostles of Christ. He said they're apostles of Satan. I mean, you think about how, just what a shock that is to hear him make that statement. But he has given this stern warning because, as we talked about last week, as they're preaching a false gospel, that is, you know, we don't think of that as being serious. I'll put it this way. It's not a crime to preach a false gospel. Now, it's a crime to do a lot of other things. If you sped on the way here this evening, you could be pulled over. You could be fined for that. You see, that's more, speeding in your car is more serious within our legal system than preaching a false gospel. So, and that's actually a good thing. I'm glad we have a freedom of religion. I'm glad you can preach, you can teach, you can believe whatever you want to. But if we're not careful, we think, well, a false gospel is not that serious. So why is he using such extreme, seemingly extreme language as he's addressing these false apostles? Well, I described it this way: a false teacher of a false gospel, this is what they are. They're a soul murderer. They murder people eternally. There's nothing more serious than that. I mean, murder of the physical body is nothing compared to giving someone a false gospel. They are murdering people's souls, giving them a false gospel, sending them into eternity unprepared to meet God. And so Paul is confronting this, and he says they claim to be messengers of Christ, apostles of Christ. In reality, they're apostles of Satan. And he says, is it any wonder that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light? Satan doesn't come to you in some really dark and kind of nefarious-looking way. He comes to you in a very beautiful, you know, beautiful presentation. You look at the serpent in the garden. It was very beautiful, was very subtle, and was deceiving, but it was in an alluring way. It was not some in some way that would be like offensive or reprehensible or something like that. And it's the same thing with these apostles of Satan. They come to you masquerading as the apostles of Christ, but they're bringing you a false gospel. That's really a gospel about themselves. And so Paul's addressing this, and these false teachers, these false apostles who have kind of snuck in there at Corinth, they're coming in and attempting to take over the church. And they've succeeded to some degree because the members are falling for this self-exaltation. They're exalting themselves. These false apostles, these false teachers are exalting themselves, and the members of the church are falling for it. And they're also falling for their attempts to discredit the Apostle Paul, and by doing so, discrediting the true gospel. Now, Paul has, and I want to mention this as we look at this text, because the way he words things doesn't make any sense unless you understand this. But Paul has zero desire to foolishly exalt himself. That he has no desire to get sucked into this competition to say, oh no, I'm a better teacher than them, because that was already a problem at Corinth. We saw that in the first letter. Some said, I'm of Peter. Some said, I'm of Apollos. Some said, I'm of Paul. Some said, I'm of Christ. They're already prone to saying, well, we have the greatest teacher. And Paul said, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not going to get sucked into that. Paul has zero desire to foolishly exalt himself. But he has to prevent the Corinthians from following these false apostles and ultimately from following a false gospel. So hopefully that helps you make sense of how Paul words things in this section we're going to be reading tonight. But we're going to begin in verse 16 to 21. If you would please stand in honor of God's word as we read this together. Again, I've entitled this message tonight, The Resume of the Apostle Paul. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. And he's using sarcasm here. He's saying, since you're so wise, you tolerate foolishness. Verse 20, for you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if any man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever, any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Let's go in prayer together. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we pray for your blessing now upon this time, that God, you would give us understanding, you give us wisdom tonight. That, Father, as we're seeing these things addressed in the church 2,000 years ago, that we would see that nothing has changed today. It's repackaged, it's relabeled, but it's the same thing. It's the same false teachings. It's the same pride of the eye, the pride of the flesh, the lust of the eye. It's the same things today that were taking place then. God, I pray that we would see that you would help us to see it in this historical context there at Corinth 2,000 years ago, so that we would be wise to be able to identify it in our day. God, there's so many things that claim to be Christian that are not Christian. That was true then, and it's true now. So, Father, how do we distinguish it? God, show us how to distinguish between that which is true and authentic, and that which is false and that which is fake, that which is counterfeit. We recognize that Satan, if he's anything, he is a deceiver and he is a counterfeiter. He counterfeits the gospel. He doesn't give a satanic gospel labeled as such. He gives the gospel of Christ that's been corrupted. That is a false gospel, a misrepresentation of Christ. We see that everywhere today. We see it taking place all over the world. So God, I pray that you would give us wisdom tonight, that we can learn through what Paul is writing here, that we can be challenged, each one of us as Christians and as believers, that God, we can be challenged in what we're hearing tonight. And Lord, and as always, if there's any person here tonight who is not a Christian, I pray that you would show that to them tonight through your word, through your spirit. You would reveal that to them tonight, that they need you as their Lord and Savior. If there's any person here tonight who is not a Christian, that they can see what true Christianity is. And God, that they can believe it with all their heart. So, Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you, God, for every person who's gathered here tonight. And God, I thank you most of all for your presence here tonight. We pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit, that, God, we can meet with you here tonight, Lord, and you can instruct us and teach us, God, as you always do. We pray and ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. So, Paul is writing this letter to the church as a whole. And these super apostles, these false apostles, are going to be there within the congregation. But Paul is addressing this to the church. And what he's saying is, summarizing what he's saying in these verses, is that when these so-called apostles of Christ boast about themselves, you accept it. When they're exalting themselves, they're boasting about themselves, you accept it. When they enslave you, when they abuse you, when they take advantage of you, you gladly receive it. And what he says there in verse 21, I speak is concerning reproach as though we had been weak. What he's saying there is, he's saying, we were too weak to do that to you. You know, you have to excuse me to my shame. I was too weak to take advantage of you, but these other apostles are taking advantage of you and you gladly receive it. I was too weak to do that. And again, he's saying this sarcastically. And what Paul is, he's beginning this entire section, he's saying, basically, you put up with and tolerate everything. So put up with my foolish boasting for a moment. He comes on down in verses 22 through 25. And we're going to talk more in a minute about why this boasting is foolishness. But in verses 22 through 25, he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. So Paul is saying, you know, you're saying that they have a better resume. So Paul is coming to Corinth. There were no Christians in Corinth. Paul goes in, he preaches the gospel, he founds the church there. But this other group has come in, and basically they're saying, well, they have a little more credentials, they're a little better qualified, they have a better resume than you, Paul. And they're discrediting Paul and saying, he doesn't have our credentials, he's an amateur, we're professionals. They're taking money from the Corinthians. Paul never did that while he was establishing the church there. And so basically they're saying, you know, he can't match up. The real apostles have now arrived. Not some hack, not some amateur. So Paul is saying this. You want to hear my resume? I work myself to death. In labors more abundant. Paul says, I work myself to death. I've been beaten more times than I can count. I'm constantly in and out of prison. I'm constantly under the threat of death. I'm a marked man. People look for Paul. They hunt him down. There would be some big, stir within a certain city, so Paul would have to escape. They would go and follow him to the next city. That's when he got stoned. It was people from another city who had like a fugitive. They had hunted him down, and they had him stoned, which is an act of execution. Paul said, I'm working myself to death. I've been beaten more times than I can count, constantly in and out of prison, constantly under the threat of death, a marked man, all of this for Christ, not for himself. He's doing all of this for Christ because Christ is the one who commissioned him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Even at this point, Paul would have been covered with calluses and scars, with more to come. Paul could say, if you want to see my resume, here's page one, my hands. Because that's how I provided for myself at Corinth. I didn't take a dime from you. Unless you think I'm your employee or that I'm doing this for the money, he said I worked with my own hands. He was a hardworking man. His hands were calloused. This is page one of my resume. You want to see page two? He could take his shirt off and he could show him his back, which would have been absolutely covered in scars. Here's page two of my resume. This is for Christ. All the way to the suffering of blood. You want to see my references? The scars on my head where they stoned me to death. Early on in Paul's first missionary journey, they executed him. They stoned him to death. That's how the Jews executed somebody. They stoned him to death, but he survived it. But you know that he's covered in scars from that. Here's the last page of my resume. Arrested, arrested, arrested. Shipwrecked, shipwrecked, shipwrecked. He said, I floated in the Mediterranean Sea for a day and a half, not knowing if I would be rescued. He was doing all of this for the gospel, doing all of this for Christ. Do you get the drift? This is not the world's version of a resume. This is not saying I was educated in the Ivy League, I have an Ivy League education, these are my accomplishments, these are my certifications, my awards, here's my letters of reference. Because that's what the false apostles were producing. They're saying, well, we studied here, you know, we are, these are letters of reference, of credentials, of well-known, well-regarded teachers. These are our letters of reference. These are our accomplishments. That's what was being produced for the church there at Corinth. But what Paul is producing is something very, very different. Paul has a Christian's version of a resume. Sufferings, sacrifices, and weaknesses. Paul goes on. Look at verse 26. In journeyings often. You think about traveling today, even traveling internationally, there's a little bit of danger involved with it. Back then, that was a dangerous thing. What motivated people to travel, there's no 911. It's incredibly dangerous. What mostly motivated people to travel was money. Paul wasn't traveling for money, though. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He is literally in constant danger. He goes on in verse 27. He lives a life of danger. He's constantly in danger. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Again, Paul is working himself to death in weariness, fatigue, exhaustion, pain, sleepless nights, doing without food, doing without water, not having adequate clothing. That's his resume. What a strange resume. Who is this weirdo? This is a strange resume, and it would have been despised by the Corinthians. You see, we're here as Americans. We think, is hard work to you, is it commendable or is it contemptible? Do you respect that, or do you kind of look down on hard work? Raise your hand if you admire and respect hard work. Raise your hand. Okay, now everybody put your hand up. Now raise your hand if you look down on blue collar people. Now I would hope that no one would raise their hand, especially in this church, because you're in the wrong place. You probably need to head out if you look down on that. But in America, we value hard work. The Corinthians didn't. This was their mentality. No, I don't have calluses. I pay people to have calluses. I don't work hard. I pay people to work hard. Todd might be the closest person to this. I'm just kidding. He's going to beat me up after the service with his employees. I pay them to do that. I'm just kidding. Make sure that goes on the tape. Todd's the hardest worker in the church. That's why I give him a hard time like that. But something about that mentality kind of grades on you, doesn't it? This idea that you looked at, well, that's exactly the way the Corinthians, they were the Greeks. They were, you know, they were philosophers. They were the educated. They were the elite. This was a very wealthy city. We pay people to work. Well, Paul said, I'm a hard worker. This is my resume. They would have despised this, especially them. Again, they didn't work hard. They paid people to work hard. They paid people to get calluses. And Paul is rebuking that pride and that arrogance in what he's saying here. Because these false apostles, man, they're eloquent, they're educated, they're right down there. I can't wait to go and tell people, oh, our pastor went to Princeton Theological Seminary. Our pastor went to Harvard Divinity School. Our pastor, we do have a little bit of that in America, don't we? Oh, our pastor, well, he's Harvard educated. He went to Duke. She went to Duke. You know, that's the... We do see some of that in the church today. And so these false teachers would be right down the, but would be a temptation to the Corinthians who are trying to let other people know, you know, their status in society. And again, Paul is rebuking that pride and arrogance. Verse 28. Paul goes on and says, beside those things that are without, those things that are coming at me from the world, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I can't even imagine. You read Paul's letters. As this is going on in Corinth, other things are happening in other churches. One thing we learn from this list that Paul gives is there are things that Paul experienced that we had no record of. We know about, Paul's going to be shipwrecked one more time. That's the only one we knew about. We didn't know about these other three and wouldn't have known about it if he hadn't listed it here. There's so many things that aren't covered in the book of Acts that Paul went through, that Paul suffered. So as Paul is dealing with the issue at Corinth, there's other issues in other churches. Paul is saying that, you know, that his care for the churches, he lists that as a burden that he bears. And these false apostles, what Paul is telling the Corinthians is these false apostles, they want you to care about them. They want you to take care of them. Paul is constantly caring about the Corinthians. It's the other way around. He's constantly caring about them. These false apostles are wanting the Corinthians to care about them, to take care of them. but Paul is constantly in care for the Corinthians. That's why he's writing this letter. Now, this may not sound like much, but I assure you, if Paul had been given the option, he would gladly have rather taken another beating than for the Corinthians, his children in the faith, to follow after a false gospel. He would far rather have taken a beating. It's just blood. It's just bruises. It's not eternal. Parents, you can think about that. You would, parents who their kids have gone out into the world, they'd rather take a beat. They'd rather take 10 beatings if they could get their kids off drugs. If they would do anything. That's why Paul feels, because these are like his children. And he's seeing this false gospel come in. He's seeing this taking over the church. And he's saying, this bothers me more than even the beatings or the imprisonments or the threat of death. This is a whole other level that Paul's dealing with here. You can see his care for the Corinthians. He goes on. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. He is summarizing everything he said up to now. This summarizes everything Paul has said. You be the judge. Who are the true apostles of Christ? Those with inflated credentials and letters of recommendation, or those who suffer daily for the spreading of the gospel and the building up of the churches, the body of Christ? Who are the true apostles of Christ, the crucified one? Which one is taking up their cross daily and following him? You be the judge. Last of all, verse 31 through 33. We'll finish with this tonight. It says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lied not. He's saying, it sounds like I'm making these things up. God knows I'm telling the truth about everything that Paul has said. And I'll assure you, he could have said more. He goes on and says, in Damascus, the governor, under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window and a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Now, it's kind of strange, as Paul has already kind of summarized what he's been saying here. He includes this last very specific reference. But the point of that is this. Paul is saying that none of this is new for Paul. None of this is new for him. He references Damascus. Paul had been a Christian for a couple of days, maybe a few weeks. This goes all the way back. Remember, Paul was converted in Acts chapter 9 on his road, on his way to Damascus to go persecute the gospel. He encounters Jesus Christ miraculously, gloriously. And the gospel that he went to go persecute, he shows up preaching it. You have to, and if you want to reject the Bible, you have to explain what happened to Saul of Tarsus. Why would you go from having all the power and all the control to beating people to getting beaten? Why would you go from imprisoning people to getting imprisoned? I think the only explanation is he encountered Jesus Christ. And so he mentions Damascus here. He's saying this isn't new for him. When Paul was first saved and first started preaching the gospel, they locked the entire city down. You know, the Jews didn't really know what to do. They're saying, you came to take care of this Christian problem, and now you're exasperating the problem. You're preaching the gospel. And he was refuting the Jews, saying, no, Jesus really is the Messiah. Isaiah 53 is about him. Daniel wrote about him. Zechariah wrote about him. Moses wrote about him. And so it's causing so much turmoil, they locked the city down. The Jews apparently go to the governor of the city. They lock the city down to try to find this fugitive, Saul of Tarsus. And he goes on and says he was humiliated, having to be lowered down the city wall in a basket to escape. He's saying, I've suffered all these things over the years, over the decades. None of this is new. So as we finish with this tonight, Why is all this foolish? Why does Paul say that this is idiocy? This is foolishness for me to talk this way. Why does he say that this is foolishness to boast or to give his resume in this way? And the reason for that is this. Because what Paul had done for Jesus is nothing compared to what Jesus did for Paul. Who is Jesus? In light of who Jesus is, Paul's creator, his God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on flesh and was humiliated. He was born and laid in a feed trough. He was humiliated for Paul. He suffered, he sweat, he bled. He was humiliated and beaten. He was stripped and he was crucified for Paul and for me and for you. A Christian's resume is foolishness. Why? Because it's 100% by grace. Am I preaching this message for Jesus tonight? Are you kidding me? Why am I here tonight? 100% by grace. Because of the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. He didn't save me when I was a pastor. He saved me when I was a blasphemer and a rebel, when I was his enemy. He died for me. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A Christian's resume is foolishness because it is 100% by grace, and Paul knew that. We can't take credit for anything. Do you want to see the Christian's resume as we close tonight? That's the Christian's resume. That's it. And that'll be my resume for all eternity. Jordan, how did you get into heaven? How are you here in the presence of God? Here's my resume. This is how I'm in. It wasn't because I preached sermons. It wasn't because I prayed. It wasn't because I read the Bible. It wasn't because I witnessed. It wasn't because I shared the gospel. This is why. This is my resume. Christ crucified. That's the Christian's resume. That's why Paul is saying, this is foolishness. Jesus Christ is our resume. And it will be, and he will be for all eternity. He is what makes us sufficient. I'm woefully insufficient. You're woefully insufficient. Paul was woefully insufficient. Christ is sufficient. He is our resume. We're going to stop with that tonight and split up into our groups.